I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1. I know we'll be rushed a little bit here after the service, but I wish every one of you shake hands with me. And if I look a little puzzled, tell me your name so I won't have to ask. It's good to see all of you. Good to see all of you. 1 John chapter number 1. I'm reading the entirety of this chapter. We'll begin with verse 1. 1 John chapter number 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. That sounds like he's rather familiar with him. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. That's reading these familiar verses from 1 John chapter number 1. I'm particularly interested in verse number 9 this morning. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Of course, we could talk about our sins, but He keeps talking about Him. He is faithful and just to forgive. He is faithful and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so as He would help me this morning, I'd like to say a few things about the God to whom we confess our sins. My thoughts are, if I can point us to Him, He'll deal with us about our sins. I read about this soldier, wounded soldier, who was really messed up physically. His body was mangled from wounds. He'd become blind. And his mind was confused. His mother made a 2,000-mile trip over the water to be with him in that little makeshift hospital. She didn't try to speak to him. She didn't try to tell him who she was. She just came in close to him and touched his brow. And he said, "Mother, is that you?" Just her presence and her touch seemed to relate to him. That's what I'm praying for here this morning. If somehow he'd touch us and draw near to us, our hearts would be lifted up and we'd say, "Lord, that's you, isn't it? Let's shut that you." Now, this matter of forgiveness, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, is a message all through the Scriptures. You remember David said, "Forgive me for all my sins," in Psalm 25. And then that text that's often quoted in regard to revival, he said, "If my people will humble themselves and seek my face, I will forgive their sins." That's God talking. "I will forgive their sins." Of course, Jesus said, when you pray, make sure you pray, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Then, of course, on the cross, his first cry from the cross was, "Father, forgive them. Forgive them. For they know not what they do." That word "forgive" in the New Testament has been big to my heart. It's like something that's near, that's close to you, is removed far away. In forgiveness, the Lord takes that that plagues our conscience and defiles our spirit. And through the blood of the Lord Jesus, he takes it far, far away. "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Now these verses we've read together, beginning in verse 6 particularly, down through verse number 10, include a series of ifs. One of my dear friends calls this section the doctrine of the ifs. Well, I would just mention to you, he said in verse 6, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." Then the positive in verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Then the negative again, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10 is negative as well. If we say that we have not sinned, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Then our text says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Of course, we're aware the word "confess" indicates to agree with. If we agree with God that our sins are sins, our rebellion is real rebellion, our wrong is wrong before God. If we confess, say the same thing really about our sins that God says. They're disobedient. They're defiling. Then he will forgive our sins. He's faithful and just to do it. I think that he's referring to the sins of believers. The idea here is that he is writing to both parties. Those who say one thing and really are not what they say they are. But then there are those who will be honest with God about their sins. And I believe that has to do with you and me as believers. Now I'd like to say three things from the text. It's gotten pretty big to me. You think y'all are up to it? I don't know if I am or not. I want us to just magnify God, the God to whom we confess our sins. I had a dear friend of mine say to me when I was very low, he said, "What's wrong with you?" Then he said, "Don't tell me, I'll tell somebody else before I get home." At least he was honest about it. We don't need to tell each other necessarily about our sins. It is true that James said when he was talking about anointing with oil, and he said, "Confess your faults one to another." But we need to bring our sins to the mercy seat. And here John magnifies, firstly, that our God is a God of faithfulness. He is faithful and just, righteously faithful. And then he adds, he's a God of forgiveness. He's faithful and just to forgive our sins. And then my word for that last phrase, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's a God of furtherance. He doesn't leave us wallowing in our guilt, but he frees us. He takes us on. He cleanses us. He purges us in our minds, in our spirit, in our conscience. Now with those three thoughts, you pray, let me try to magnify him. Of course, again, this is an emphasis on God consciousness. He says some negative things about those who act like they're God conscious, but they're really not. But then he said, however, if we, he's talking about those who have fellowship with the Father and with His Son, if we confess our sins, if we're God conscious, we'll realize that he's a God of faithfulness. And so I'd magnify his trustworthiness for a few moments. Of course, he is faithful. I think we're confronted with his character. He is faithful in his character. He's a God of love, but he cannot help but be a God of love because God is love. And he is faithful because he cannot help but be a God of faithfulness because he's the faithful God. He's righteous, but he cannot help but be righteous because he's the righteous God. And so he magnifies that the God to whom we confess our sins is a God of faithfulness. He's a God who can be trusted. It's like my friend, he was saying, "You can't trust me. Don't tell me what's bothering you. I'll tell somebody else. You won't believe what Tom said." Well, I tell you, if we're not careful, we'll lean on one another more than we'll lean on him who is faithful. He's faithful in his character. Every time I think about the faithfulness of God, I find myself tying it to other attributes, other traits. For instance, he is eternal. Well, if he is faithful, then the indication that he is eternally faithful. He always has been, he is, and he always will be faithful. He's never wavered. You and I have found ourselves up and down, off and on, and we get aggravated at ourselves. But again, we have to be conscious that God is faithful. Run to him. He's faithful in his character. His faithfulness is tied to his eternality. And his eternality is tied to his immutability or his unchangeableness. So here, when he says he is faithful, allow me to say he is faithful because he's eternal and he's faithful because he's unchangeable. He's God. And besides him, there is none else. And so he says, you can trust him. Someone here this morning may feel at a distance from him. You're not trying to hide, you see, and you're very aware that you've done him. You've been disobedient to him. You've done him wrong. Has God ever wronged you? No. And yet we've wronged him, haven't we? And there may be someone who's very sensitive to that or candid about that. I want to say he's never changed. The God who has forgiven his people down through the ages is faithful. He's faithful. Lean on him. Look to him. Cry out to him. Move towards him. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. He can't help but be. Faithful in his character. And then I think of how people will do you sometimes if they hear certain things. They become distant. And it's like a friend of mine was talking to a man recently. And I don't know that he made a mistake. He said he did. I don't know. But he told the fellow, he said, you know, I failed years ago. And I've tried to get that right with God and go on. He said, Tom, said the phone clicked. He got off the phone. He couldn't even talk to him. That's the way people are. That's the way we are if we're not careful. We see the stain more than the dear heart, the needy one. And so I would underline that Jesus is not only a God who is faithful in his character, but he's faithful in his conduct. He always does what is right. Boy, we miss that mark, don't we? But you can believe God is going to treat his people right. He's going to do right in judgment, and he's going to do right in mercy. And here, John addresses the fact that he is faithful. And can I say, since it's personal, he is faithful. He is faithful in himself. Now, angels derive their life and existence from God. And we derive our life and existence from God. But God does not derive his life. He is life. He doesn't depend on anybody else. He's God. And here we're reminded he is faithful. He's going to do what's right. He's going to do what's best. He's going to do what's good. And that because he cannot but be faithful. The God to whom we confess our sins is a God of faithfulness. A God of faithfulness. My mother caught me in a great sin. And I begged her. I said, Mama, please don't tell Daddy. I knew I might not be here tomorrow. And I said, Mama, please don't tell Daddy. I don't want this to get out. And she said, now, honey, you know I have to tell you, Daddy. I got to be truthful with you, Daddy. I said, well, maybe if he asks you, just don't blurt it out, Mama. She said, now, Tommy, I'm going to tell him when he gets home from work what's happened. And she did. And she pleaded with him to be merciful to me. O.T., don't get mad at the boy. He's confessed it. He's been honest about it. brother, God is our Father. And he's going to do what's right. Oh, brother, that helps me, and I wasn't even expecting help for the moment. Hallelujah, he's a God who is faithful. A God who is faithful. I thought I'd tell about my Angela, my middle daughter. She got in trouble at school, and they called me. Principal said, Mr. Hayes, I need to talk to you. I said, you mean right now? He said, well, it'd be a help if you could come on up right now. It just happened. He said, it involves Angela. I said, oh, Lord, what has she got into? I got put on some different clothes, was dirty, tried to wash my face. And I went up to the school. Angela saw me before the principal saw me. She did the right thing. Daddy, I'm sorry. Daddy, I did what was wrong. I know I did. Daddy, please don't hold it against me, Daddy. Please be merciful to me. I said, well, I don't even know what you did. She said, well, he'll tell you, but please be merciful to me. So I went in and he told me. I don't have to go into all of it. I know y'all sitting on the edges of your seat wanting to hear it. Why she did it, I don't know. They had the lime out where there's marking the base path. From home to first, and then on to, and coming back to home. They left that bag laying out. Well, for some reason, I guess she got it from her daddy, a little mean streak. She took that bag of lime and poured it in the water fountain. I don't know if they ever got it working again or not. I went on into the principal, and he explained it to me. He said, what do you think I ought to do? I said, you're the principal. You do whatever you're supposed to do. He said, well, preacher, I can't whip her. She's already begged me to forgive her. I said, she caught me outside begging me to forgive her. I didn't even know what she'd done. He said, well, I think she's got the right attitude. I said, I believe so, sir. I believe so. And I'm telling you, brother, there's a God in heaven that has a heart for you and has a heart for me. He's a God who is faithful. When I confess my sins, forgive me, I don't want to bring God down on our level. But I feel like Jesus would say, Father, I believe he's got the right attitude about it. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Of course, this matter of being just is being righteous. He does what's right. Then you'll notice the word forgive. I've already alluded to it. It means to send away that that's close to another place, a faraway place. The God to whom we confess our sins is not only a God of faithfulness. He's a God of forgiveness. Now, this matter of forgiveness is a pretty big issue, isn't it? Simon Peter said about forgiving his brother, he said, you're talking about seven times, aren't you, Jesus? Jesus said, no, I'm talking about seven times 70. Pretty big issue. If he comes 140 times, I'm to forgive him. Somebody said, well, I tell you, it's more than one side of the road to walk, one side of the street to walk down. Oh, if God would forgive us, sure wouldn't forgive others. Forgive one another. Somebody say, yeah, but you don't know what happened. No, but I know who God is. And he's the God who is faithful, and he's the God of forgiveness. Now, what does he forgive? Well, the idea here is our sins come before him. If we confess our sins, now some of y'all are big deer hunters. We had a couple jump up out in front of us down here at the curve. And I always like to see that. I'm not much of a deer hunter. My brother got all those genes in the family. But my idea of camping out a day or two is Holiday Inn. Jeff said, well, come on. He said, we got some beanie weenies. I said, you eat your beanie weenies. I'm getting me a steak tonight. I'm not much of an outdoor person. But give me a book and my Bible and give me a corner. I'll be all right. Somebody, God puts us all together different. At any rate, Jeff, before bow season, he'll get out a round bale of hay, put it down there on his property, and then he'll work with that bow. He's truing it in, you know. He doesn't want to pull that bow and it go over the deer's head. He wants to hit the vitals. He wants to bring home some meat. Actually, he wants to show off the antlers. Isn't that the deer hunters? Somebody lay that deer back up where his head will flop off the end of the truck. There's that rack. They don't show you where he's bleeding. At any rate, Jeff sets up that bale of hay and puts a little old target on it. And then he backs off a certain amount of feet and pulls that bow. And he works with it till he's hitting the bullseye. Y'all will get a big kick out of this. There's this young preacher boy in our area. He wasn't really familiar with amens, hallelujah, glory to God. But he knew he was to respond when the preacher said something that was needful. And so his response was, when you'd preach, he'd say, bullseye! I knew I was zeroing in pretty close. Well, Jeff works with that bow and he hits that bullseye. But if you don't work with it, you'll miss it. It'll go awry. It'll go off. And the idea here about sin is missing the mark. It's missing God's standard of holiness. It's missing God's righteous path. And yet if we confess our sins for what they are, Lord, I've missed the mark. Lord, I come short of your glory. Lord, I was selfish. Lord, I was disobedient. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. The idea he forgives what is committed. Sometimes we want to confess other people's sins. He forgives committed sins. But hey, these committed sins need to be firstly confessed sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We're willing to admit we've missed the mark. If we're willing to agree with God that our sins are as bad as he says they are, he is faithful and just to forgive us. If we confess our sins, I say he is a God of faithfulness. Somebody said, well, I really need to get something settled with the Lord. Well, you don't have to be afraid of God. You need to be afraid of yourself. Cry out to a God who's faithful. Don't trust yourself. Somebody said, well, I'll do better. No, you'll do worse. We all are prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. I say he forgives what is committed. He forgives what is confessed. Now, before we conclude today, I want us to come to that last little phrase. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. The God to whom we confess our sins is a God of faithfulness and righteousness. And he's a God of forgiveness and mercy. May I add, he said he would cleanse us. He's not only faithful and just to forgive us our sins, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Really, you're getting a bonus. You're not only getting forgiveness, but you're getting cleansed and purged from all that is unrighteous in your heart, in your mind, in your system. The idea is that God furthers us beyond our filthiness. He purges. You know, we just throw our dirty clothes now in the washing machine, put in a little detergent down a certain area, and it does the rest of the work. But I remember my grandma talking about beating out the clothes on a rock. And it didn't sound to me like it worked, but it worked for her. And then I remember Mama doing it on a wringer washer. And she'd look at it. She said, I don't believe that's good enough. She'd run it through again. And the fact is, God does not have to run it through three or four times. He doesn't have to beat the devil out of you to get it out of you. If you'll be honest with him, and I'll be honest with him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse, to purge us. You don't have to come into church where your head down. I fell again. It's like a dear old fellow in our area. He's a little, got some mental issues, but he likes to go to revivals. And my pastor, who's now with the Lord, my former pastor, Brother Rollins, came down here and pastored in Tampa for years. But he'd come back up in the mountains and preach a few revivals. And old Garfield, that was his first name, he came to the altar every night. And Brother Rollins said, "Tom, I wasn't begging anybody to come." Said, "Here come old Garfield." And so that last night I finally said to him, "Garfield, you've come to the altar every night. What's bothering you?" He said, "Brother Rollins, still moking and a cussing." He couldn't get free, could he? Still moking and a cussing. Well, at least he is confessing what he had done. Somebody said, "Well, God helps those who help themselves." No, God helps those who can't help themselves. And they run to him for help. And so the God to whom we confess our sins is a God of faithfulness. He's a God of forgiveness. He's a God of furtherance. He cleanses us. He furthers us beyond our filthiness. This word cleanse, by the way, is used. It's rendered purge and purify on several occasions. Then I want to say, he not only purges us beyond our filthiness, hang on now, he purges us beyond our forgiveness. Listen, if you settle it with God, you don't have to whine about the rest of your life. Settle it with God and go on. Go further. He purges. He cleanses. Somebody said, "Well, I tell you, I thought that man would come to the altar in that meeting. Or I thought that woman, I figured she's going to get something said." Listen, we got to let God do that. God, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. Yeah, boy. He takes us further. My thought is he takes us onward and he takes us upwards. This gives me some hope. Does it give you any? God may be able to do something with me yet. If I'll be honest with him. If I'll be cooperative with him. I'll relate to him my filthiness, my unrighteousness. So we settle it with God and he purges us. Purges us. Well, that doesn't mean you're not going to think about your failure. That doesn't mean the devil's not going to run it by you 1,000 times. That doesn't mean that somebody else is not going to say, "Uh-huh." But I'm going to tell you, if you settle it with God, you can walk on. I don't want to be where I am this year at the same time next year. I want to move forward. I want to move on. I want to go with God. You know, one of the TV preachers used to say, "Go with God and he'll go with you." Listen, God's going whether you go with him or not. But how blessed it is to get in, linked up with him and move with him. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Years ago, I was traveling to Kentucky to preach a youth meeting. I was still in Bible school. I drove out of Tennessee up into Kentucky. It was foggy, bad day, weather-wise. I heard a voice. I thought, "What was that?" And I finally perceived coming in behind me was like a sheriff's car, and he is talking with his speaker on. And I pulled over. I thought he's going to get me. He zoomed around me and went on down the road. I followed him. Couldn't keep up with him, but I followed that same path. I was headed that way. And there'd been a terrible car wreck in a big curve. This man who was drinking heavily that day, His father-in-law said to him, don't drive, don't leave. Let me drive. No, I'm driving. And he got real. I heard the father-in-law tell a little bit of it. And he come around the curve and it literally clipped the roof off of that car when he hit that tree. And everybody in the car died. Tore me up. I got out of the vehicle, saw the mess, and then a little old baby was laying on the side of the road that he had got up there and laid down. And then the father-in-law, he had heard about it, and he drove up, walked on in on the scene, and crying, mourning. I mean, his heart broken. Here, I'll never forget it. When he came in and saw the matter, he said, if he had not left and drove himself, this wouldn't have happened. If I begged him to stay, but he wouldn't do it. If he had just stayed. If that word lived in me a long time after that. I'd like to say again this morning, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May God help us not to become casualties on the road of life. May God help us to be open and honest with him about our sins. That's what I had in my heart this morning. The God to whom we confess our sins. It's interesting, John didn't say, make sure you go to the confessional booth. No, he said, he is faithful. Run to God. Run to the Lord. Somebody this morning, run to him. Don't try to carry that load. Run to God and be honest about it as he pulls at your heart. You've been so kind. Would you stand with me? Your heads are bowed.